Welcome to another episode of Mini Fellowship in Movement Disorders, where we take most challenging concepts in movement disorders and simplify them into easy-to-follow explanations. I'm your host, Danish Bahati, a movement disorder neurologist who loves to teach physicians online, especially in the developing countries. So this is the last episode in this series of episodes from Module 1 on Tremors and Essential Tremor from our residence course on movement disorders that I am tackling this week. And this course asks the residents to fill out an exit ticket after each live session, and they submit things that they are not clear on that I am addressing in these episodes. So this question comes from our resident, Dr. Purba, Dr. Matthew Purba. Ask this question is, what is the best way to isolate the muscles involved in a tremor? So which I would translate as, what are the challenges or best ways to examine a complex tremor? You know, if a tremor is simple, meaning that it's present only at one joint, then it's very easy to tell, right? So if there is a extension flexion tremor at the wrist, it's a simple, straightforward tremor, and it's very easy to tell that the muscles have to be involved, extensors and flexors of the wrist. And if the tremor is due to something like essential tremor, then both sides are equally involved. Both extensors of the wrist and flexors of the wrist are equally involved, and that's why the tremor is often equal around a null point, is regular and rhythmic and non-directional or bidirectional. However, if the tremor is more of a dystonic tremor, then it's typical that one side, either extensor or flexor, have the dystonia and is causing the dystonic jerk towards it, while the other muscles are compensatory and they're trying to correct that unintentional jerk of the movement and leading to a corrective phase of the tremor. This kind of tremor is mostly jerky, and usually the jerk is more pronounced on one direction than the other, and that's why it's directional, is usually irregular and not smooth. So let's say that the wrist flexors are the one that are dystonic, then you will see a jerk of the hand downward at the wrist, excessive flexion, and then the wrist extensor kick in to correct it. And the way to tell which one is dystonic and which one is compensatory will be, number one, to see which direction is the jerk. Is the jerk downwards towards the flexors or upwards towards the extensor? But then more importantly, that you go to the next step in trying to confirm it is to try to figure out the neutral point. The neutral point is the point where the muscles who are dystonic feel that they have achieved what they wanted to do. So a dystonic muscle is trying to contract and shorten the muscle, and that what creates a jerk or a pull. If you shorten the muscle by intentionally contracting that muscle, then that jerk or the need for jerk goes away. So if it's the wrist flexors that are dystonic and they're pulling and jerking the wrist downwards to flex the muscle, the wrist, and create a shortening of the muscle that direction. So if you flex the wrist, then the tremor should go away. And whatever amount of flexion is necessary creates the null point. Maybe you have to flex the wrist all the way to 90 degrees or only 45 degrees, and that's enough to create the null point and the tremor goes away. And similarly, if you do the opposite of what that muscle is trying to do and stretch the muscle even more, then you create an even higher state or of anxiety, so-called, for that muscle, and the muscle tries to even jerk more strongly. So if the wrist flexors are dystonic, and if you extend the wrist, then the wrist will have even more tremor, because now you're doing opposite movement of the wrist flexors, and the dystonic jerks will become even more amplified. So that's, you know, one way to pick up the dystonic muscle, and so on and so forth. Now, often patient does not have a simple tremor. The tremor is present in more than one joint. So there may be a wrist tremor as well as a finger flexor tremors at proximal metacarpophalangeal joint, or a tremor in the distal fingers in the phalangeal joints. There may be an elbow flexion extension tremor. There may be multi-directional tremor. So wrist may not even have, wrist not only have a wrist extension flexion tremor, but also a supination pronation tremor, and so on and so forth. And that creates a complex situation, and it becomes further complicated because different tremors may show up at different times or different positions. So a patient with his hand stretched out may have a finger extension flexion tremor, but with the wrist pulled up, he may have a wrist extension flexion tremor. With the hands close to the chest, he may have now an elbow extension flexion tremor. So that creates a very complex situation. And the thing to do is to slow down, take your time at each of these positions more and more, not quickly go through different position, but hold each position to observe it carefully and see, and then isolate in your mind your attention to only focus on one joint at a time. So first, just observe the wrist extension flexion, then just observe the fingers, then just observe the elbow, then just observe the, and ignore other information, isolating yourself, creating a tunnel vision to try to individual pieces, component, to isolate them, and then gradually, after a prolonged observation in one position, go to a second position, go to simple actions, and then gradually add that information for each joint separately. What is happening to elbow with the arm fully stretched out? What is happening to elbow with the arm pulled in? What is happening to the elbow during writing, during eating? And then similarly ask this question for every joint that you see the tremor and create a sequences of tremors. Now, it may be that there are multiple tremors happening from the same disease. So Parkinson's disease often has a combination of tremor. So most classic tremors of Parkinson's are a combination of finger extension flexion tremor, finger and thumb opposition tremor, and a wrist extension flexion tremor. And they may come in different times in different combinations. Or it may be that the complex combination of tremors is present as a signal to more than one disease going on. So it may be essential tremor plus dystonic tremor, or essential tremor plus Parkinson tremor. And you will be able to tell that if you isolate each tremor and observe them individually more carefully. To learn more about the mini fellowship, visit our website for University of Nebraska Medical Center, Department of Neurological Sciences, where you can be part of the community and ask us questions. You can write to me on mdclinicforyou@gmail.com. It's mdclinic4u@gmail.com. And follow me on YouTube for longer discussions by searching for Danish Bahati, D-A-N-I-S-H space B-H-A-T-T-I. You can also find me on Twitter @DanishBahati_MD and on LinkedIn.